Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, here we are, our Friday get-together, and get-together with our audience out there. And what are we going to call it? They're out there, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are. And we have a letter from out there, from the outback. Hello,
question
from our listener, Sam. Hello from Australia. What are your views on the Kondratief cycles in relation to current markets? What is that, a Kondratief?
Kondratief was a Russian economist.
Ah.
And in the early 20s, he kind of discovered a recurring cycle of around 50-some-odd years. And he only covered like one and a half of those. And then a bank credit analyst in 1972 published a write-up on it. And then everybody went off on Kondratiev waves. I even had a T-shirt made that said, Kondratiev, the wave of the future.
Wow.
And so there are many researchers got onto this guy, and... But things don't happen every 50-some-odd years. And they invented a Kondratiev spring, a Kondratiev fall, and a Kondratiev winter, and all kinds of imaginary stuff. Now, it was a good start to historical research. And then what I did was just continue going all the way back to Roman times. And... I wouldn't use the term cycles. I wouldn't use the term waves. I would use the term recurring patterns, of which the pattern that completes with a great financial bubble is very clear. And this great financial bubble reached its best in January 2022. And it's sort of kind of along the path to... a more serious contraction. Yeah.
Second question from Sam. Bob, when can we expect the release of your book?
Oh, I'm still working on it. Sorry about that. So, yeah. But thanks very much, Sam.
Yeah, I guess, Bob, it's more important not to, you know, speed it. You want to make sure it's perfect.
Yeah.
Bob, what is the book about?
Financial and economic history.
Ah.
So from Roman times.
Wow. So will we hear a lot about Mr. Cicero? Marcus Tilius Cicero?
Oh, yeah, Cicero. I took Latin, so that's how I know how to say Cicero rather than Cicero.
I see. It should be a Kaiser salad instead of a Caesar salad.
Yeah, of course.
Achtung.
Yeah.
Okay, our next question comes from Michael. Hi, Jim and Bob. Many contrarian financial pundits are recommending a barbell strategy in preparation for a looming financial storm. They recommend overweight gold at one end of the barbell and short-term UST bills at the other. In the middle, they recommend some modest holding of commodities, in particular uranium and silver, and some gold miners. Bob, can this barbell strategy actually do the heavy lifting for our portfolios, assuming strong headwinds ahead?
Very well done, Michael. Thanks. Yeah, if you... people can sense there's a storm coming, but unless you studied all the previous ones, you don't quite know what the pattern is. And it's quite straightforward. The T-bill rates are going to go down, so you don't want to be in short-term securities. Long rates can go up, so you don't want to be too far out the curve. So I sort of think investors might want to look at 3 to 4 year good grade U.S. corporate bonds for a decent return and without huge risk. And then also, if you're Canadian, you'll get the advance in the U.S. dollar. So that's one idea. This barbell thing, there will be trades in gold stocks. We're looking for an important low in gold stocks at around October, like next month, and when we get the right technicals on it, we'll have the buy on gold stocks. The general stock market will rebound as well. But the point in emphasizing gold stocks is that in a post-bubble contraction, the price of most everything falls relative to gold. So, and that reflects their costs of mining. So we do gold divided by the CRB, which is a proxy for mining cost, and then also gold divided by crude oil. And hey, about 60% of mining costs are energy related. So and it's already working. Gold divided by commodities has made a good advance, and it's correcting. And gold divided by crude oil also made a very good advance, but it's correcting here. So with a financial storm coming, the best thing to have is as much liquidity as possible and as little debt as possible, and then watch to trade the gold stocks on opportunity.
We have a third lengthy question for Michael. Could be a different Michael. Since the great financial crash in 2008-09, the markets have been in the twilight zone, defying gravity, common sense, and the prophecies of once respected financial oracles. Blind investment in a U.S. index proved to be insightful. Many predicted that the chickens would eventually come home to roost, but they never did. Lately, we've looked to the skies for black swans, which seem to leave as fast as they arrive. And after a brief pause in 2022, here we are again. It's risk on as we welcome the approaching Great Reset.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm confused. Where are all the black swans and roosting chickens? Are we ever going to have a good old-fashioned 1929 crash, now decades overdue? Or has Bidenomics delivered us into a new economic twilight zone?
Right, yeah. No, this is, we had the huge commodity boom. It's in two big events, 2008, and then a test of that, 2011. Now, history says that about a decade later, you'll have a great financial bubble where all of the speculation is in stocks and bonds, which we've had. And that on the stock side blew out in January 2022. And we had a massive hit. The first half of that year was the worst for the 60-40 balanced portfolio between stocks and bonds. The worst hit since the 1930s. Now, that's telling you something. But the economy didn't fail immediately, and I think that's due to the fact that the COVID lockdown was an extraordinary event, and it had its hit into the markets, and then coming out of it is also an extraordinary event where people are just trying to get back to normal. But I'm staying with the things that have worked. We did have a magnificent financial bubble that completed about a decade later after commodities. And the path of certain items like real long interest rates going up is on path. real gold prices going up is on path. Real copper prices going down is on path. And the senior currency, the U.S. dollar, firming is also on the path. So then to get just ordinary business conditions, the economy, earlier in the year, the yield curve inverted. And every inversion of the curve is followed by a recession. So that's locked in. And the other one about the yield curve, as we point out, is that the more dynamic the inversion, the more serious the recession. And this one was fairly dynamic. So that works outside of history. This is just straight credit market stuff. So I think what we're going to discover in a few weeks' time is all of a sudden there's going to be no bids for stock, many stocks and bonds. And at that point, you can get another liquidity crisis, credit crisis, whatever you want to call it. And then all of a sudden, they'll discover that the economy is heading south pretty quickly. So, and then, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's that Empire State manufacturing number. And if just recalling that the economists who were looking at it were looking for a 1 percentage point decline, and it was a 19 percentage point decline. So there could be things like that. So, black swans, no, every financial crisis has a certain setup and a certain pattern that goes into it. So black swan is just kind of a intellectual cheat. Now, as to the roosting chickens, this is going to be the greatest cluster cluck in a long time. And I've got a cartoon on I came up with the line, and we had a cartoonist, and the line was that the sky was going to darken with all the chickens coming home to roost on the greatest cluster cluck in history. So if anybody wants that cartoon, get in touch with Jim, and then we'll pass it on to you. So.
And, Mike, question for you today, Bob. China, I think this is in revenge for Huawei being banned for government officials in the U.S., their use of Huawei phones. China is now banning their government officials from using iPhones. And that caused a $200 billion drop in Apple shares.
Ooh. I missed seeing that, so, yeah.
Yeah, so when you have... Now, Apple was one of the so-called Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't... No, but anyway, it's been a huge hunk of change out of their pocket overnight. Mm. You always talked about a black swan event. Well, this is... Apple sells the most phones in China. Ironically, they make most of their phones in China. What if Apple, in retaliation, says we're not going to build our phones here anymore? And that would throw, I think, about 1 million people out of work.
Yeah, that's interesting, Jim. Yeah, yeah.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy as he takes a look at some of today's interesting headlines.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught his eye. Two of them political here. Young people have had enough of Biden, and Trudeau's support has cratered with young Canadians. So it looks like our millennials on both sides of the 49th.
And also the date. That was August 30, Fox Business News in the States.
Yeah.
August 30th, Edmonton Journal. They essentially the same headline that. And, of course, my quip about the difference between Biden and Trudeau is that there's 29 years difference in age. Mm. They're both complete idiots and puppets of the control freak left. So it's nice to see that rapid drop in support for guys with the wrong ideas. Mm.
Now,
guys with ideas that are harmful to the economy. Now, Trudeau is doing everything he can to shut down oil and gas, and then yesterday news came out about Biden shutting down more exploration for oil and gas in Alaska. And then Trudeau, all of a sudden, he doesn't like nitrogen in soil, so he's against agriculture. Crazy man. So,
well, traditionally, Canadians don't so much vote for someone as they vote against somebody.
Yeah, well, I think this has happened all right. So,
and the very first political event I covered as a reporter was the election that got his father in 1975.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And again,
Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Yeah.
Yes. And Western Canada really didn't like him much either.
Of
course, Pierre gave us the famous salmon arm middle finger.
Yeah.
From the back of a train.
Yeah. And but anyways, Pierre Elliott Trudeau was a clever socialist, and Justin Trudeau is a stupid socialist. So what's the difference?
Well, one was smart and the other one not so much.
Yeah.
Headline, Chinese banks lend billions to Russia amid Western sanctions.
Yep.
Can that China afford to do that in the midst of a financial crisis?
It's not going to be that. Some of that billions they may not get back. And here's like the next one is debt crisis threatens to engulf China's surviving developers. So that the pressures, liquidity pressures, continue to spread. So
Evergrande filing for bankruptcy protection, their second largest company, and Country Garden, their largest, is not paying investors either. And people are getting a little upset. Are we going to see another Tiananmen Square event where people are just had enough?
Oh, I think so. I think the next recession contraction, governments will be suffering loss of tax revenues. And also in the contraction, they won't be able to fund themselves through inflation. So then when folks start feeling the pinch, and they're going to make sure that the governments are not living well. So I think we're set up for a reform of authoritarian government with a recession. Mm. Folks are just going to say, hey, you're spending my money forcing me to do what you want rather than what I want. So I think we're going to see quite a step towards reform.
From the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, Canadian taxpayers paid almost $3 million last year for the Governor General to travel around. $3
million. Whoa, yeah.
Yeah. For just a figurehead for representing the king.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they have no budget.
Yeah.
Or if it is, it's insanely large. Also, this news story, the Federal Banking Consumer Agency received over 27,000 complaints about banks over 5 years. Not one was followed up by $285,000 a year Commissioner Judith Robertson and her huge staff of between 200 and 300 people. Not one complaint. At least in Russia, you have a 1% chance of being acquitted in court. In Canada, the banks are 100% right and consumers 0%.
Yeah.
What does that say about this government's eye on helping us look after our finances?
Oh, no, no. The government and the bureaucracy is out to line its pockets and tell you what to do.
The UK price index survey shows sharpest business slowdown in 7 months. And as we know, the UK is a nation of shopkeepers. Whoever said that.
I don't think that was Napoleon.
Ah. Well,
it was during the Napoleon time.
Ah, well, I guess it was an insult. Well, who won that one?
The shopkeepers.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And as, another headline, big government is back. How do we pay for it? Every time our prime minister leaves the country, so do billions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
The U.S. dollar has soared to a five-month high. What's the driver there?
Post-bubble contraction, the senior currency becomes chronically strong. And the chart is acting well. We're up to the 104 level and getting to 105 on the DX. And I'm looking then to get up to 114. Now, it's going to drive the inflationists crazy. But, hey, in a post-bubble contraction, prices deflate in the senior currency terms. So the senior currency is still the dollar, and it will become quite firm. Now, part of the mechanism is that during the insane bubble, the debt expansion is phenomenal, and a lot of the debt underwritten is due and payable in New York in U.S. dollars. So you can say that the debt bubble itself is a huge short position of dollars, and the Federal Reserve will be unable to depreciate the dollar. It'd be like a pub without beer, wouldn't it?
Headline I brought up here: China strongly deplores interference inquiry in Canada, as China is accused of trying to interfere in our elections, especially in the Greater Vancouver area.
Yeah.
And Toronto as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were influencing the election, and they've got, you know, it only took $175,000 to bribe Trudeau. That was what they put in his trust kind of thing. And actually, at times, Trudeau has said how much he admires communism, because when you have complete control and you make the right decision, then you can implement it right away. So he's a complete Marxist.
We have Quebec, which is strongly opposed to natural gas and petroleum product pipelines in general, yet they're the biggest buyers of SUVs, the biggest consumers of gasoline, and they're the biggest beneficiaries of the transfer funds from the Alberta oil patch.
Oh yeah, no, that's a very unfair deal with Quebec. Yeah, they take the greatest equalization payments, and most of the equalization payments come from resource-rich western provinces, and then they deny pipelines through to the eastern provinces. Yeah, crazy as hell.
And, of course, it's really hard to get any kind of a natural resource project done in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, in British Columbia, a 200-year proven reserve of natural gas, and every effort's made just to keep it in the ground.
Yeah. Well, they got one pipeline through, and they got one set up doing compressed liquid natural gas. Yeah. But a year or so ago, two leaders from European countries came to Trudeau specifically to get into liquid natural gas deals, and Trudeau said no. So he's just as crazy as Joe Biden. They're shutting down oil and gas production. They're resisting expansion with pipelines, and it is a form of madness.
And our final headline: Harvard is named worst school for free speech, scoring 0 out of a possible 100, and that's from the New York Post.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wow.
Now, the university behind it is the concept of a universal opening discussion, and then college is collegial, which is open discussion, and then Harvard is 0 out of 100 in free speech. How about that?
In other words, they don't allow controversial speakers.
Nope.
And so the students just have to take whatever they stuff down their throats there, and they don't get to hear from diverse opinions, ideas, research, and so on.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Does that mean, Harvard being a pricey place to go and having a good reputation till now, is that going to mean a Harvard degree isn't really worth what you paid for it anymore?
Oh, no. Their whole East Coast liberals will think it's wonderful. But they don't realize how corrupt that institution is. Hmm. And they don't realize, you know, all these lefties and control freaks, they don't really understand how corrupt they are.
So I would imagine Yale is on the other side of the spectrum, because that's where the Bushes
went. I don't
know.
I'd have to look it up. But Yale is another Ivy League college. So, yeah.
Well, George W., he was the top man on campus when it came to organizing parties.
Good for him.
And as president, he said, "I'm not that bright. I hire the best."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, of course, his dad was the youngest pilot ever to qualify to land on a U.S. carrier deck.
Yeah.
He was shot down and rescued by a submarine in the Second World War.
Yeah.
And and he was the head of the CIA. And then president, I think, there might be a few brains in Dad. Just a few, huh?
Yeah. Anyways.
Bob?
Yeah. Always fun to get together, Jim.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on Twitter @HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. You can also find us on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.